Okay, we're going to start at the top of Samach Lamed Aleph, seven lines down. So, an additional question from the Bnei Galila. Shokalei Bnei Galila, Rabbi Chelbo. It's another question that they sent to Rabbi Chelbo. Mahu likrot bechumashin bebeit kneshet b'tzibur. Can you read from a chumash instead of a Torah? Can you read from a chumash? Not a chumash like we think of a chumash. Rather, chumash means a sefer Torah that does not include the five books of the Torah, but a sefer Torah that's written for each chumash, like Bamidbar, Dvarim, Bereishit Shmot, Vayikra, each one of those individually. Lo havei yodei, he didn't know. Adishah, the Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, they went and asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, who's the person who they asked in the previous question who answered it. Lo havei yodei. Now he didn't have it either. He didn't have the answer either. Adishah bei Medrash. So they went to the base medrash to see what the answer should be. They answered it from this position. Sefer Torah, a sefer Torah that's missing one, you know, yiriyah, one column, ain't korinbo. Then we don't read it. And if it's missing a column or it's missing one cloth that's in the Sefer Torah, we do not use that Sefer Torah. When it says Velohi, how can you compare these two cases? Over there you're talking about a Torah that is missing something, in that you have a full Torah and it's missing something in the middle. Over here you're talking about a Chumash that has a, whatever is supposed to be there, is there. So the difference between having a whole Sefer Torah that's even missing something, even though you have other four Chumashim are totally complete, but here you're presenting a full Sefer Torah, it's missing something, as opposed to when you present just the Chumash, that Chumash in and of itself is a complete book. So Rabbi Yosef Damer Tamayu, Ein Korim B'Chumashim B'Beit Knesset Mishum Kvod HaTzibur. We don't read in the Chumashim because of Kvod HaTzibur. So that we've seen this term in the Gemara Megillah, uses this term in other places about Mishum Kvod HaTzibur, that the proper way for the Tzibur to read is Derech a Sefer Torah, means a Derech a Sefer Torah Malay. It does come down, this ends up being somewhat of a Machlokas Rishonim about the issue of whether you can use a chumash, quote unquote, or not, and that has relevance when you find a Sefer Torah called psul. If you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, the psul is one chumash, can you read from another chumash within such a Sefer Torah? The problem is only mishum kvod hatzibur, maybe there's an ability to read from that Sefer Torah, or we say like before, Rabbi Yochanan, shor nachmanim Rabbi Yochanan, then when a Sefer Torah is chaser, that ruins the whole Sefer Torah, not just simply the chumash in which it's found. So it does have nafkumino galocho in terms of how we view a Sefer Torah that has a psul, a single psul in it, that is not in the Chumash that we are reading. These Sefer HaTorot that are written, we're not allowed to read from them on Shabbos. Now, when we talk about a Sefer of Torah, right, what does that mean? So when it says, my time, why can't you read it? Because it's not allowed to be written. What do you mean they're not allowed to be written? This is Torah Shebichdav, right? This is Navi. Of course you can write it down. So the issue is that they used to write the piece of the Sefer, the Haftorah that you would read. They wouldn't write the whole Navi. Right? The proper way to write a Navi is to write the entire Sefer of that Navi, and then you go to the place where you want to read the Haftorah. Here they were writing simply the section that they needed to read for Haftorah, and not the entire Sefer in which it was contained. So that was the problem. So that's Nali Tanli Katev. You can't write a Torah, you can't write a Navi like that. So my Baravashi Amar Lutulay Nami Asur. Well, if you can't read from it, then it becomes a muksa to carry it. My time at the love because of the mikribe. If you can't read from it, then it becomes muksa. The one says below he, that's not the case. Shar the tutule, but shar the mikribe. Number one, you can carry it. It's not muksa on Shabbos. Number two is you can use it to read. Why? The Yochanan Shimon Lachis Ma'ini Bisifer Tagarat of Shabbos. Right? That the Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Galachis used to learn Agarat, right? The Gemara Torah Shabbal Peh on Shabbos from written Klafim. And there it's clear that you're not allowed to write it down. That's Torah Shabbal Peh. We'll see later today's daf that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. The cave into low Efshar. Since it's impossible, why? Because this is a pasuk that quoted by or learned by Rabbi to determine when he started writing down the Mishnah, but anything Torah Shabbal Peh, which now is Lo Efshar, I mean that the Mesorah to continue was impossible to continue without the writing of Torah Shabbal Peh down. Therefore, we make exceptions to write it down. That's where we define what Eid Lasom actually says, V'ba Eid Lasot Takana L'Shem Shemayim. If the time comes that we have to do something L'Shem Shemayim, Heifeu Dibrei Torah L'Sha'ah HaTzricho. Stop, break one of that mitzvah of not writing it down. in order to preserve the entirety or the integrity of Torah. So that we say over here, Al-Kanami came into the law of Sharia, that's the Lashem HaFeiru Tzadzacha. So too, but they have Torahs, it was made Lashem HaFeiru Tzadzacha, and therefore they are latter. What's the eight Lashem HaFeiru by the Torahs? Meaning that by the Torah Shabbat Pan, we know that the Mesorah be forgotten. What's the eight Lashem HaFeiru here by the Torahs? Right? Ain Lecha, Kol Tzibur, Tzibur, Yechol, Lipto, Nevi'im, Shalem. They didn't have either the monetary means or the ability to write a full Navi, and that's why it became Eilas Ol Hashem HaFeiru Tzadzacha. Had they stayed to the Lakla of writing the entire Navi, they would not have had an Haftorah. So in order to preserve the Haftorah, they allowed them to write down a section of that Navi and not the entirety of the Navi.
It
serves no. Well, no, that's not just.
It's not. The question was the tzibur. Can you use it to read the tzibur?
But they were. It was a general statement. If it's not lo nitan lekatev, that means nobody can read from it. That's not just a din at tzibur. The din that you can't read from Torah Shabbat Peh that's written down, or a navi that's not written in its entirety, is not just exclusive to a tzibur. It's period.
So it's also written down, not just for the context of using it for tzibur, just.
Right. For learning, you can't do that. It's an inappropriate way of writing down Torah Shabbat stuff. Okay. Can you write Torah in sections in order for a child to learn from those sections of the Torah? Instead of writing the entirety of the Torah, the entirety of the Chumash, can you write sections for him to learn? So he says, Torah Megillah Megillah. It's a question, this is the Gemara is going to discuss in a minute, is it's a corollary of the one who can say that the Torah is given in sections and then later combined to make the whole Torah. It'll be a question mark to one who says the Torah was given in its entirety in one shot. So it's a question mark to one who says that it was given in sections, came into Megillah, Gemilah, Nitna, Kotumin. Since it was given in sections, you can also write it in sections to use it. Oh, Dilma came into Ibbik, Ibbik. Once it was placed together into a complete Sefer Torah, you can no longer divide it or subdivide it back into Megillot. It's a question according to one who says the Torah Chatumah was given in a singular form in its entirety. Since it was given in its entirety, therefore you can't break it down into component parts. Maybe since it's impossible to teach, you can't have a child learn from an entire Sefer Torah, you need to give him sections of the Torah. Therefore we map here in these instances. Says you can't write it down. Umata. What's the reason? Lafisha in Kukvin. What's the reason? Because you can't write it down. Right, but no more here it means literally, because you're not allowed to write down sections of the Torah. That's the meaning. The meaning over here is that you can't write it because you're not allowed to write. I mean, you look. You're not allowed to write the Torah in sections. So Hvay. Api asna tablash zahav. So we saw this in Sota, but also here in the Gemara Yoma, that Hilmi Amalko made a golden Sota plate, which was written the Parshat the Sota, so they could copy it down when they needed to do a Sota. She Parshat Sota Tuvala, because Parshat Sota is just a Megillah, right? It's a single section. So when it says, they didn't write it in its entirety, they wrote it in Roshet Tevot. Alephet means Roshet Tevot. So when they wrote Parshat Sota, they didn't write the actual Parshat Sota, they wrote the Roshet Tevot in each word so they even know what to write from. So the Marshat says, Eitvei, Kishuv Kote, Ro the Kote. No, when the Kohen went to copy from it, he copied literally from this plate. He wasn't copying from Roshet Tevot. Masha Katuv the Tabla, what was written in the Tabla. Ema Kamasha Katuv the Tabla. He didn't write literally what was there, he wrote like what was there. I mean that he had a guide, it was a guidance or a guiding force, not like a shorthand that he copied from. So Eitvei, Kishuv Kote, Ro the Tabla of a Kote. Now we have a Bryce that says, when he wrote from there. What Kote, Masha Katuv the Tabla, what was written there? Mahu Kote. And it gives an example, so now you're in trouble. Right? The tabla, what was written on the tabla, imshachav and lo shachav. So here it's saying that the actual words were written there. Although, truthfully, the word imshachav is not in the pasuk, right? It's only im lo shachav. But nevertheless, the literally what's written there. So the Gemara says, this is the solution now. Hakom ha'iskinen b'sirugim. That was written b'sirugim. What does it mean, b'sirugim? That at the beginning of every pasuk, the words were written in their entirety. The finishing of the pasuk was written in Roshei Tevot. So that's what it meant. The beginning of every pasuk, they had the three words that were the actual words to remind them where he was, and then it was Roshei Tevot afterwards. And therefore, it wouldn't be violating this issue. Kitnai, the Gemara says, that it's a machlokes tanoim. Right? So that's, you're not allowed to write sections for the, you know, child to learn from. It's like what we just stated. But if he's intending to complete the Torah, he's writing the Torah section in section to complete a full Torah, mutar, then it's mutar, because then it's in the context of a full Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Breshit Ador Mabul, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't subdivide it, you just have to topically subdivide it and teach it. So you can read from Breshit until Ador Mabul, Torah Konim Ad Vayhi Beyom HaShmini. And Vayikra, if you go from the beginning until Vayhi Beshmoni, because these are sections that are full sections or topical sections, and you can divide it up and you can write those sections for the child to learn from. Okay, now this goes back to the Machlokas we said before, whether the Torah was Nichtava Megillah, Megillah was written Chatuma. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bana, Torah Megillah, Megillah. Now the Torah was given in sections, Shenemar. So I have a pasuk. This pasuk is by David HaMelech. It says, Azamarti Neibati B'Megillat Sefer Ketuv Elai. This is in David HaMelech when they were questioning his legitimacy to be part of Klal Yisrael with regards to the fact that he was from Ammon and Moab because he came from Ruth. Right, Moviyah. So over there, it's right. We darshan Amon velo Amonit, Moab velo Moabit. So in his argument, he says, "As a marti, I then said." Right, what do you mean? I then said when they questioned my legitimacy. Right, when Shaul and Doeg came and questioned my legitimacy to join the cow or to be part of Klal Yisrael, he named Ati Megillat Sefer. I went and I was joined into Klal Yisrael because of that which was written in the Megillat Sefer Ketuv Alai. That was written about me. What was written about me? That is written about me that by Parshas Avram. It says over there that Atid Lavob Schus Dorish Atid that take me Ruta Moviyah but Nama Monoit Imash Rachbam Kitiv Hafa. That was why the whole Parsha of Lot that's written about his two daughters that is written there because of who would come out, their descendants who came out of them. So that section of the Torah, that Megillah, is what was written about me, and that's why I was legitimate to Bobaka. So Shimon Akish, so there you see that the Torah is called a Megillah, right, or a section. Shimon Akish, the Torah Chatuman. Shema Leshi says, no, Torah was given in its entirety. Shema Leshi says, take this Sefer Torah, in the entirety of the Torah. So, the one who says that it's from a Megillah, I mean Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it is a Megillah, he asks, what does he do with the pasuk that it says Lekoach Sefer Torah Zot? How the Barthi Yidlik? That was after it was placed together. I mean, it was written section by section, and then later on they were combined to create a whole Sefer Torah. The Yidach Nami Ketiv, and according to Rish Lakish, who says it was a full Sefer Torah, what does he do with Megillat Sefer? Ketubalai? How the Kala Torah Yidra Megillah? That's because the whole Torah, not just a section, but the whole Torah as a whole is called a Megillat Ketiv, because we know in Zechariah it says, he has a nevuah and says, what are you seeing? I see a Megillah that's floating over there. It's referring to the Torah of the Klal as a whole. So you see the word Torah and Megillah are used interchangeably, not as defined terms as being Torah whole and Megillah section. The other possibility is the Rabbi Levi. It's like Rabbi Levi. The Amar Rabbi Levi, Shmona Parshiot Nimru Bayom Shuv Kambo Mishkan. 8 Parshiot were said on the day that Mishkan was put up. Parshat Kohanim, Parshat Levihim, Parshat Tmeim, Parshat Shlech Tmeim, Parshat Akronot, and Parshat Shtuyayim, Parshat Erot, and Parshat Paraduma. So it's good to read to them what they are. So Parshat Kohanim is the Parshat of Emor, because the Kohanim are going to serve in the Mikdash on that day, so they need the lachos of the Kohanim. Parshat Levihim is the Parshat Levihim service in the Mikdash, not Parshat Levihim doing with Meister, but the Levihim had to sing Shira on it to be a part of the God. That's Parshat Levim. Parshat Tmeim is subject to Machlokas. Rashi says Parshat Tmeim refers to the people had to do Pesach Sheni, Parshat Pesach Sheni, because they were going to be Tamei by Pesach Sheni, and therefore by Pesach Rishon, and therefore they would have to do it during Pesach Sheni. It's a little difficult because we're on Rosh Chodesh now. If we're on Rosh Chodesh, if they're Tamei today, they could have been Tahor in time for Pesach Rishon. So Tosfos says that he thinks that Parshat Hatmeim over here is Parshat Vayinazru, Tehtibei Tumat Sheretz Neveila. That's the Parshat in Vayikra that deal with Tumah, the sections of Tumah, because you have to know whether you're entitled to come into the Mishkan or not entitled to come into the Mishkan, and what precludes you. So that's the regular Parshat of Tumah, Neveila, Tumas Neveila, Tumas, right, Trefa, those Parshat. Right now, Parshat Shluach Tameim, everybody agrees, is the Parsha of, right, that you have to send out the Mitzoraim, the three Machanot, that you have to send out Mitzoraim, you have to send out a Tamei Meis, Tamei Mitzora, and a Tamei, what is it, Tamei Shepard Zerah, right, so Tamei Sekeri, and Tumas Zav. So those are the three sections, right? Parshat Akreimot, and Parshat Akreimot is because this, when none of the Navi were killed on the first day, and the next parsha is by Yachrim Lot Bnei Aaron. So that's right after they passed away. Right? And then the additional parsha is Parsha Shtui Yayin, which is found right afterwards, right after the death of none of the Navi. So that discusses the locus of when a person may come into the Ol Moed and where he may not come into the Ol Moed. Parsha Bnei Aaron is Balotchum, right? So they needed to know how to light the menorah on that day. Parshat Parah Duma, this is interesting to me. It's always bothered me, so I'm glad that Rashi says it over here. Parsha Parah Duma is they had to know Parah Duma because they had to become Tahor. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Parshat Parah Duma, Fibshi Yom HaParah, this is Rufa HaParah. And the day after the Yom HaShmini, they burnt the Parah. They opened the Harim LePischeim. In order to become Tahor for the Pischeim, Kodim LeChem LeYakul Asalta. Before that, they couldn't do it. Bidinan, Hizal Nokot Petach Ol Moed. Because you need the door of the Ol Moed to burn the Parah Duma opposite this, and you have to sprinkle. Right, from opposite the Padach Ol Moed. So it was impossible to have the Parah Duma beforehand. So it's always bothering me because we read Parsha Parah, right, we read it the week before Parsha Achodesh. So the people said, because they had to become Tahor, so to become Tahor from the regular, that makes sense like here. But a lot of people say it was because of the Miluim, that they had a Parah Duma, and they were retiring themselves during the Miluim in order that they could work on the Yom HaShmini. But that can't be possible, because then you don't have Padach Ol Moed. You're lacking one of the components of Parah Duma. So it always bothered me. See, Rashi says the same thing, that you couldn't have a Parah Duma until after the Yom HaShmini. And therefore, the Parsha Parah Duma was given on Yom HaShmini. All right, so now, I would just point out, there's one important thing that Tosfos points out over here. According to the one who says that Torah was Chatumah Nitna, was Torah was given in its entirety, what do you do with the fact that there are sections of the Torah? I mean, the Torah is moving along, right? We're having through time, but it's not necessarily time-bound. I mean, the Torah comes in and out of order. I mean, we have Ein Mukdam HaMukha B'Torah, which at least even the Ramban, who objects to Ein Mukdam HaMukha B'Torah, he says when the Torah explicitly says it's out of order, then it is out of order. So there are sections out of order. So Tosfos over here, he says, even according to the one who says Torah Chatumah Nitna, right, that what do you do with, like, for instance, Rashi says by Parshat Mishpatim, it says by Yitach Sefer HaBrit, that Moshe gives them the Sefer HaBrit. So he gives them the Sefer HaBrit. Rashi over there says that's from Chumash Bereishit until now, that he gave them the whole Torah until this point in time. So how can you do that if Torah was given Chatumah? So Tosfos redefines what it means, Torah Chatumah Nitna, is that it was given. It was only written. Doesn't mean it was written all at the end. It was written in order. The Torah was written in order. So now, what do you have to say? Right? What do you do with these?
In order
of events, everything that took place. So now you have a problem because when you've got to certain events that are out of order, you can't write them in the Torah. And that's what the Gemara says over here. What do you do with the word Megillah? What is the one who says Torah Chatumah? What is the Megillah? He says like Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi, you see that 8 parshiyot were given on Yom HaShmini, which is out of order. So what they did was they wrote the Torah as it was going along to stay there. But then if you got to a parsha that was out of order, they wrote a Megillah. And they held on to that Megillah until they reached that point in the Torah, and then they stuck it in. And that's what it means. Torah Chatumah Nitna. It wasn't that it was written section by section, it was written in an order, and then when you had a part of the Torah that was out of order, they wrote that section that was out of order, and they held on to it until it was its proper place. So for instance, Parah Duma. So they had the Parsha Parah Duma, was written on the Yom HaShmini and the Megillah. That's how you deal with the Pasuk Megillah, and then they held on to it until they reached Parsha Chukas, and then they popped it in right over there, and they put it in its order. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Elazar, Torah wrote bichtav, umiyut alpeh. Majority of the Torah is bichtav, is written, and the miyut is alpeh. It's clear that it's not the case. Torah shebalpeh is much greater than Torah shebichtav. What does it mean that rove bichtav? That rove of the Yehudim come from the ketav of the Torah. I mean, they're not given to Moshe orally, but they're really given, I mean, if you do a drasha of follow Pratuklal, of Zer Shava, or any other Davidot, you can learn them directly from the text that's there. And how do you know? Moshe Nehmer, Kdolo, Ruvei Torati. So he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Bnei Yisrael do not keep my Torah, they made my Torah, my written Torah, like as if it was given to someone else or as if it wasn't given to them. So that's talking about Torah Shebichtav. So even though it's Torah Shebichtav, we're talking about Rov, it's called the Rov. The majority is given orally. Orally meaning that you couldn't get it directly from the text or learn it out from the language of the text. And the minority comes to that. Based on these words, Alpi means Alpeh Hadbari Ma'ila, which is referring to the Torah. What does he do with the Pasuk of Yachtov Lo Ruti? That's not a statement that this is the road to Torah. Echtov lo, saying rather it's a question, it's a rhetorical question. Echtov lo, bubu, tiratiya, lokomozar, nechshivo. Right? What, I should give them, you know, I mean, I should write down all my Torah. They don't even keep the little piece that they're supposed to keep. I mean, then how could I give them more, or how should I depend on them to do more? What about according to Rabbi Lazar, it says Alfiyat Braimela, how mishum the takifil and mikmerinbu. It's not that their majority are given orally, but rather because they're much more difficult to learn, or they're much more they're versus Kitab, where it's written down, it's easy to pass on and have a Misora. When it comes to Tarshim Balpeh, it's either much more difficult to learn or much more difficult to ensure its continuity, and that's why it's called a beat. They make it, it seem like it's bigger than it really is. So this is the source for all of our problems now. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani says, and it's the Targum of Rabbi Shimon Malkish, it says, write down these things. That you should have them orally. So how do we reconcile between the two? Things that are written, you now let us say orally. Things that are given orally, you may not write them down. Hey, Rabbi Shmuel Tana Eila Eila, that it says Eila twice, right? So told the Chat of Brema Eila, and it says Kapiya of Brema Eila. Eila Ata Kutei, Viata Kutei Halachot. So they dash on the Pasuk, Tuk the Chat of Brema Eila, that you must write these things, these written items you must write down, but you may not write down the Halachot, things that are considered, right, bit out peh. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Olah Parat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brit in Yisrael, Bishvil Dvarim Shebal Peh. Rabbi Baruch was only Korei Brit at the Klal Yisrael because of the Torah Shebal Peh. Shnemer Kol Piyat Korei Ma'ila Korati Itcha Brit at Yisrael. And because of these items, I was Korei Brit for with you Klal Yisrael. And that's generally, we see in the Gemara Sanhedrin that a Ben Noach is not allowed to learn Torah. We say Ben Noach is not allowed to learn Torah, that is Korah Shebal Peh. That Torah Shebal Chetab of Ben Noach can learn. Right? And all these incidents have made distinctions that are made. Klal Yisrael's unique participation in Torah is Torah Shabbat Al-Peh, right? That which is Torah Shabbat Chetab is given to the world at large, even to Ben Noach, even to people outside of Klal Yisrael. That which is unique or makes us unique as the Am is our interpretation of the Torah Al-Pi, Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. It gives us definition and the way to interpret properly the Torah, that is our unique presence or gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes us unique as Am Yisrael. Right now, the Gemara continues with things that were mentioned in the Mishnah. It says, "Arvin b'bayit yashan," right? That you can put the eruv into the old house. You don't switch the house in which the eruv is supposed to be paid darkei shalom. So my time, the Gemara says, "Wants to know why?" Ilim mishom kavod. If it has to do with the kavod, b'hal shipura. Shipura is a shofar. It's in Yonah the Yoma. They had a shofar that having been kara bei Rabbi Yehuda. In the beginning, was in the house of Rabbi Yehuda. So beira. Rabbo, and went to move from there to the house of Rabbo, the Sof Bei Rabbi Yosef, and then from there to Rabbi Yosef, the Sof Bei Abaye, the Sof Bei Rabbo. Moved from the house of Abaye, went to the house of Rabbo. So Rashi points out over here that they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, meaning that first we had Rabbi Yehuda, after Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbo was a leader, after Rabbo was Rabbi Yosef, Abaye, and Rabbo. So it moved around the shofar. What was the shofar? So Rashi gives one definition, this is the shofar they blew on Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos they used to blow a shofar, remember the Gemara in Shabbos, that's why they blew six times they blew the shofar, in order to be mashik li'am mimalacha. And they told the people when Shabbos started. So that shofar was kept in these houses. Now, the Rashi brings a second shot, and also discusses why the first shot is problematic, is one that they lived in different cities. These were born and lived in different cities, so if it was the shofar Erev Shabbos, what do you mean? And only one city had the shofar Erev Shabbos, this makes sense. So Rashi quotes, and this is from the Mishnah Shkolim, that a shofar was a definition for a tzedakah box, or something that was used, the collection for the yeshivas. So the collection box of the yeshiva was kept in these Rabbanan's houses. And it's also like Zeb Shabberi says, it seems to make a lot more sense, that whoever was the leader at that time had the shofar in his house. So if the whole problem is Mishum Kabod, right, how could they move this shofar around? I mean, then why don't you leave it like Beit Yashan, you leave it in the, right, the old house. So the Gemara says, well, that is, the problem over here is El Mishum Chashko. The problem over here is not with Shum Kavod, but Chashka. What are we going to think? Like, why did they move the Eruv out of this house? Because the guy was eating the Eruv. The guy, they put the bread in his house every week, and they came afterwards, and the bread was gone. So because of the people will think that the reason they moved the Eruv out of this house is because this guy was not trustworthy, he was eating the Eruv, so they moved it to another house. So chashto, for that reason, we keep it in the original place where the ear was placed, and don't move it out of it. Now, when it comes to the shofar, the collection box of the yeshiva, no one's going to recochet the leader that we moved around. It also makes more sense. Whoever's the leader of the yeshiva should have the tzedakah box in his house. It's not a problem with chashto, the movement from the house of Rabba to a buyer, to Rabbi Yosef. That's because Rabba's no longer the leader. He passed away, he's no longer the leader, then they move it to the next leader's house. That makes sense. But here, when you're moving the Eruv, there's no reason to move the Eruv. I mean, again, if there's a valid reason to move the Eruv, it's obvious to people why they moved the Eruv. For instance, the person moved out of town. You know, I mean, that's not an issue. But if it's a problem where maybe bring to chashad, then we don't let you move the Eruv.
Rashi seems to explain the chashad differently. And the chashad that
Thank you so much. I remember now. Rashi gave an alternative shot. Thank you very much. Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam gives a shot that the eruv is hot. Thank you, Shaul. Rashi gives a shot that the bichoshed the people are carrying without an eruv because it was originally in this house. They move to another house. People won't realize that there's no longer the eruv in another house. No things are carried
there.
Thank you. That's it. I've been underlined here and I forgot. I'll give you the Rabbeinu Tam's shot, which I saw second. But right, Rashi has the alternative shot of where that shot is. Thank you very much. Alright, boar shu karo li ama. So we said that the boar that is closest to the ama feeds first off of the channel. So the Bnei Na'ara, the people who saved, came, these river people, right, that had river coming through their fields. Rabba Mar Tataisha to Maivarisha. Rabba says the people at the bottom of the river are entitled to take first. Shmuel Mar Yilaisha to Maivarisha, that the upper people get the entitlement to cut the river off first. Right, the Demezel, Kuliyama Lo Plige, in a case where the river is flowing and people are simply drawing, taking buckets and drawing from the river, nobody argues that anybody can go in and draw whenever they want because you're using the river in the river's form. And it tells us that even if the river doesn't flow all the time, nevertheless, whenever it flows, you're using the river in its flowing manner. The key Plige be Miskar Veshkuya. The question is when you divert the water in order to feed your fields, to have your fields be filled, or to put into a bore, into a storage pit. That's the question here. Shmor Mat Elisha. The people upriver get to do it first. Why? Dami Anu and Karvinan's faith. Where the water comes to us first, so we're entitled to take it first. Let the water flow in its natural course. We're at the bottom of the river. If the river flows naturally, it's going to come to our fields and our borot because we're at the bottom of the river. So it's not our Mishnah. Right? So now, this is a big question for Rab. According to Shmuel, makes sense. If the first one takes collection, over here. How well according to Rav, the bottom people do. So Targuma Shmuel leave it to Rav. So Shmuel answered for Rav. The Amma Mitalekha tell people row. There's a difference in a case which is the Amma floats over his boar, meaning that in a case where he has to divert the water to fill up his boar, in that case Rav says the bottom people get precedence. But in a case where your boar is right on the river and the river's natural flow will fill your boar, in that case, even Rav agrees that the first person there, because again you're not changing the flow of the water, you're not diverting the water. In that instance, it's okay. So that's the case. What's the chiddush in the Mishnah that the first guy gets to fill it? He's not doing anything. His boar is right there. The water runs over it and it gets filled. So the tamei matzi amru lei sakar misker ashke behin dezak mashmon. So the people downriver can say to him, "Listen, I know your boar is there, but your boar is sucking water off the flow of the river, right? And therefore, what you should let the river flow, right, in its natural course until all the fields are filled. I mean, until all the fields are." Have the big water, and then fill your boar. You should be able to fill your backup storage before we get the first feeding of the fields done. So over here we say that no, nevertheless, even if his boar is naturally there by the river and it fills by itself, we don't say to him, wait until after everybody else's field is filled, but you can let the boar fill as the river goes by. In Amar Bahuna Bartachlifa, Hashtu, Golo Yitzmar, Nuka Salokamar, Golo Kimar. It's a very interesting thing. Since Halacha is not like Shmuel, not like Rav over here, we don't know which Halacha is. So in other places in Shas, when we have Lo Nuka Smar, Golo Kimar, you can do whichever you want, right? Now we say, then, like Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, with regards to when is Mincha, is that Vagam Mincha or is that Shkia? So it's Lo Yitzmar, Nuka Salokamar, you can do Abin Mar, Gabin, Abin Mar, Harbi. If you do, it's like either one. So that's not what Kumar says over here. Everyone says, go to Alim Bagar, whoever stronger wins. Whoever wants to win. Now, what does that mean? First of all, what does it mean that halacha is not like Marla Kamar? We know that the din is like Shmuel Bedine. Because Rabbi Surei, halacha is like Shmuel Bedine. So here's a dinim amonah, it's a din should be like Shmuel. So either you have to say that he doesn't, that Rabbi Shmuel does not hold of that din, that halacha is like Shmuel Bedine, one, or, that's good, he's over here, he thinks Rab's logic makes more sense. So despite the fact that it's small, the din is like small, nevertheless, Rav Lash makes more sense, and therefore he doesn't feel like that should apply over here.
And the Rosh Hashanah said that because Shmuel himself answered the question on Rav,
yeah.
it demonstrates that maybe Shmuel himself felt that there was
a... Right. Well, that's not... We have it in other places in Kass where Shmuel and Rav argue, and Shmuel answers on his behalf. We don't say, therefore, the Halacha is not like him, but it gives more token to the fact that maybe there's an alternative here. Alright, so they're called the Olam Gomer. So this is an interesting case. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Akhla Kamei Dabai. Rav Shimi Ashi wanted to learn with Dabai. Amalei, Lotzman Mar B'Yidam. He said, it's Chabrus time for us. I want to learn by you, Abai. Set me a time that I can learn by you. Amalei, Isli Yidam Lididi. He says, I already have a Chabrus with myself. I need my time to review my gear, so I can't learn with you. So he says, Lotzman Mar B'Leili. Okay, Seder, during the day you're doing your own learning. How about at night? Have a little time for me at night. Amalei, Isli Maile Shui. I have to feed my field. At night I have to take care of my field. So Amalei, he said that I don't ask you to lay the mar, Maya the Yabil Mama. I'll take care of your fields during the day, but look when Mar Bilela, and then you'll learn with me at night. So he says, I'm like, yeah, of course, that sounds great. I'll learn during the day, and at night we'll have a kabusa because you'll feed my fields during the day, so I won't have to feed them at night. So also the Eli. So then this Rav Shimi went to the guys upriver, because he was in the middle. Abai was in the middle of the river. So also the Eli, he went upriver. Amalu Tatai shut to my race. He says that the people at the bottom get first dibs on the water. Also the Tatai, he went to the people downriver from him and says, Amalu Eli shut to my race. The people upriver get precedence. So Adhaki Sakam Yaskar Ashke. So in the interim, he got both of them to wait for the others, and he went in and diverted the water and fed the fields, because he convinced both of them that they didn't have the right to be first. So when he came in front of Abaye, he learned them, you fed my field by fasting Allah like Shmuel and Rav. You told the people upriver, right, that the din is like Rav and the lower people get it. He told the people downriver that Allah like Shmuel, that the up people get it. Lo Taminu, Abaye carried the Haishaka. He was not willing to eat the fruits of the field that year. Now, why did Rav Shimi Bar Ashi do this? So you could suggest, I think it's like the Tosu says this, the Tosu mentioned, the fact is that Kol Olam Gavir. Hey, Kol Olam Gavir means whatever way you can get it, right, you get it. Whoever is smarter or stronger can get it to work. So he came up with a svara to stop everybody and do it himself. So that's why he says Kol Olam Gavir. Abaye says that he didn't feel right. So that's Abaye says over here he wasn't comfortable that the people would see that it was done, even though maybe he was right. Maybe he was allowed to do this. But since Abaye is a Tam Chacham, we always say that they're held to a higher standard. So Abaye did not want to eat from the fruits. He might have sold the fruits. That's what the Tosafot says. He might have sold the fruits and made money from that, because there's no din of cancel here. It's a din of Darkei Shalom. So the Darkei Shalom, he said, okay, I won't eat the fruits so people won't look negatively upon me about this. But nevertheless, I don't have to lose all the crops. I can sell the crops off. So that's what happens. Now, Hane B'nei Chacham.
It seems pretty close to the answer a little differently, that the principle of Kol Olam Gavir here only follows when it was completely upstream, completely downstream. But it's clear that the one in the middle is not the one stage. Whoever is who's the middle first is either the one down or the one top.
Right, so Rav Sosa is bringing the second
answer. The one in the middle, according to the middle case, that would be first, and therefore that's why I was not...
I'm not happy with it, right? That's the Tosafot brings to me. That's the second answer Tosafot brings to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I refuse to go to prison and refuse to learn from that.
So they have that the Tosafot brings two answers down. So also right, the Tosafot brings the first answer, which is that the possibility that the halakha over here is not clear what the halakha was like, right? Or the possibility is that and therefore, Kol Olam Gavir is who can do whatever he wants to be ma'arim on it. The other possibility is that the middle guy is freed over here. The middle guy is open to do whatever he wants because he's not governed by either Allah, Shmuel, or Rav. Okay, so now let's do this last case here. Is Hanu B'nei Karmach. These people of B'nei Karmach, the Azul Karu Beresha. The water, the river, reached their fields first. But what do? They recover Beresha to Shanbat, the Badrua, the Shaju, the Shili Naro. That the river passed by their field. So here, it's coming by their field over here, the river. So what they did was they diverted the water around their field and then dropped it back into the river on the other end. So basically, they affected nobody, because anybody who's upstream from them, right, got water before them. Anybody downstream of them, they returned the river to its natural flow. They just diverted the water around their field in the interim. So now, this is what they did. So now, Amar Luhu, And Karu, so they come to Abai. Eli is coming to Abai. The people upstream came to Abai and says, Amalek, Hamatka Lenar. It is slowing down the flow of the river. Meaning that by diverting the water over here, it's slowing the rushing of the water down the river, and it's slowing the whole flow of the river down. So he says to them, Amalek, Karu Bahadayu. Say, if you dredge the river up here, upstream, if you dredge the river, it will cause the water to flow faster, and therefore you can solve the problem without having them seal off this diversion, because it's not affecting you. The diversion is lower than you on the river and shouldn't be affecting you. So he says, just if you dig the river deeper, it would work. So he says, sometimes the river dries up, and if you take the river down deeper, what's going to happen is it's going to stop the flow entirely, because it's going to be so deep that the water is not going to be able to flow downstream because of taking the river down. So over here, the way Rashi learns Pshat, it means that the Bnei Mechuzah, he told the people of Bnei Karma, you can't do this diversion anymore because you're affecting the people upriver. Since you're affecting the people upriver, you can't do this diversion because that's an end of your entitlement to affect people above river from you. That's one place. Tosfos brings an alternative Pshat from the Rav that says that he told the people who are upriver that you have no rights, meaning that that you have to take your people away, because who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to the people upriver. He's not speaking to the Beit Harmon when he says the people upriver, because Kodalim Gavar, right? The halakha is whoever's stronger wins, and so who's stronger over here? Right? They were stronger over here because they were able to divert the field, and it's done. Once it's done, it's done. So Tosafot says he prefers Rashi's shot over here. All right, we'll stop here.